Awesome. Look at somebody near you and tell them you look like you've lost some weight. Why are you laughing? I think that's great. I think it's great. Hey, this Thursday night, Jonathan Bergio from Lovejoy Church in Buffalo, an incredibly brilliant and gifted young man who graduated with an MBA in business and finance, and the Lord put him on a turn. He went and served basic ministry for several years, and now he had some offers from around the country to serve in large ministries. He turned them down to come back home to take over the church that his father had started over 30 years ago, and he's just a gifted and a brilliant, I call him a young man. I mean, he's in his mid-30s, but he's incredible, and you'll be blessed by it. And then Friday night, I saw Chef Boyardee walking around here earlier, I think. Where did he go? Is he still in the back there? But our own Bruce Tyrell will be putting together an incredible Italian feast. It's the first missions dinner of 2018. That's this Friday night in the Generation Center. What time does that start, Aaron? 6? 6 o'clock? 6:30? 6? 6 o'clock. Brad is reading his bulletin like I should be and that you should be. 6 o'clock this Friday night, Generation Center. We hope to see you there. Adults are 8. Kids are 5. It'll be amazing. The greatest part of it is that we can be together and hang out a little bit and have some great, great food together. That's this week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're excited about that and the week's coming. This is a time of the year where the Lord wants to help you and I with individual challenges that may be represented in our lives. And I've been talking about some of those over the last few weeks because we're in the season of Lent, the 40 days up to Easter, where, you know, some tradition, some churches say, give up something for the 40 days. But how really foolish that is to just do something that's harming you, give it up for a minimum of 40 days. How about giving it up for life so that you can live and you can move forward in your life and do things that you never thought you could do before? I want to pray for you, and I just ask you to open up your heart, your mind today. Lord, I just want to say thank you for each one that is here. I pray your hand upon them. Lord, every heart to be open to receive what you have for them today. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Last week, I talked about giving up procrastination. Although that word is not in the Bible, the reality of it is so true that when you procrastinate on obedience, you delay something that God wants to do in your life. Moments that he has created for you to experience. When you obey him, you may not immediately see the result of that right then and there. But can I tell you that when you obey him, your life, you'll begin to live a life of these hidden treasures that will be manifested to you as you go along. Things that you never anticipated. Blessings that will come your way that you never thought. And some people say, well, you know, that's strange. Why do all these good things just happen to so-and-so? Or how come that person gets this and I don't? You never know the seed that they had sown in the season that God had called them to. Procrastination will keep you from some of the best things that God has for you. And know this, God has created great moments for you to enjoy when you obey him. Do what he's calling you to do. And it won't always be convenient. It won't always be when you're anticipating it. You know, if I go through the drive-through at Dunkin' Donuts, I get my coffee. I get a small coffee in a medium cup with a turbo shot, a shot of espresso. And by the way, I've had Dunkin' Donuts this morning. My son Ben obeyed the Lord and got me a black eye from Starbucks. I drank that. Plus, I drank a double shot of espresso before I started the first service, so I'm full of power today. Hey, come on. So I'm not going to have a heart attack. That works my heart. It does this to it. Well, I'm sitting there in Dunkin' Donuts, and I always buy, if somebody pulls in behind me, I always buy them. Then I see this guy in a pickup truck, you know, two vehicles behind me, and I see him waving his hand, you know, like this. I don't know, maybe he was Italian and trying to send me a message. That's just a joke. But he was obviously upset. I felt the Lord nudge me and say, I want you to buy his. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to buy his. But in the moment of obedience, when it's not convenient, God will reveal and release some great blessing over your life. Don't forget that. The other thing that I talked about last week was self-doubt. When you doubt what God has done in you, it'll rob your dreams and your future from you. You can't live under that. And then loneliness. Loneliness has the propensity to drive us into a place that we never thought we would go. I want to encourage you today, if you've come in here today and you suffer with that, if you suffer with anxiety, reclusing yourself is not the answer. But coming to God and being around people will help you and it will lift you out of that dark place in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, and I'll give you rest and I'll give you peace like you've never known before. And I want to encourage you today. This is so much upon me that we are in this season where I believe that you and I can ask largely of the Lord. Listen to me today when I tell you that. It is my prayer during this season that you ask him to give you victories and give you strength for the journey that you're on. This is that season where you can do that when you focus on what he has already accomplished for you at the cross of Calvary. Ask him to give you victories for areas that maybe you're struggling in, or victories with people that you're struggling with. Pray great prayers and believe that God will answer them. Change the way you communicate. Instead of you speaking and always declaring negative words out of your mouth and engaging in negative talk, how about begin to speak words that encourage, words that build up, words that create and not tear down. Words that speak to the potential that is not only in you, but to the potential that is in others. I have learned that if I will never speak to the potential, I will not be able to speak to the potential of others until I learn to speak to the potential in my own life. I have to speak over my life. I have to call those things in my life that are not as though they were. Because if I stay confined into the small box of my life and never look beyond where God could take me, I will never see the depths of what he wants to lead me to. Speak into existence the incredible dreams that God has placed in your heart. I want to encourage you to stand up and declare with your mouth things that God has laid in your heart and believe that when you say them, he will begin to bring them to pass. Because if you never see them coming to pass, I can guarantee you, you will never, ever have them. Stop saying things like, it's too late. This could never happen for me. But start saying things like, I'm at the right time. I'm at the right place. This is the right season for me. I believe and I'm going to receive the best that God has for me. Come on, you ought to amen better than that this morning. Let go of some things that hinder your potential. Let go of some of the strongholds. You have to, and I do, have to discipline our lives to rise higher and to believe God that he can help us with the things that we're struggling with in our lives, which led me to think about this, and I just called it this morning, one more thing. Just he wants to help you with just one more thing. Because if we're always locked in these strongholds that try to define us, we'll never come out of it. And Paul said, and I've read this the last couple of weeks in 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5, though we live in the world, we don't wage war like the world does. Because the weapons that we fight with, They're not weapons of this world. You know, if from a child till we get older, we're taught to fight the way the world fights. If somebody hurts you, hurt them back. If somebody says something negative about you, say something negative back. But that's not the way God says. He says to love those who hurt you. He said to love those who hurt you. I know you weren't going to get excited about that. But you see, that's the way that God says that works in our lives. He said, we don't fight with the weapons on the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds and demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we are to take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Strongholds is like a prisoner locked by deception, which means we live a life by something that is not even true. Some of you are here today, you're living a life that is not who you are because you have allowed a stronghold in your life to take hold of you and make you who you are. And that's not who God created you to be. In fact, when we look at what is true about your life, and it's not going to be up on the screen, we have to look at Psalm 5, verse 12. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor like a shield. Do you know that when you trust Jesus with your life, that he gives you favor like no one else could have? The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of you, when you got up today, you didn't even know it, but God gave you new joy for the troubles that you're dealing with. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you great peace. Romans 8, 28, and we know that God will work all things out for good to those who love him and to those who have been called according to his purpose. You may be going through something today that the enemy has orchestrated to try to pull you down. But that's just a pawn in the hand of God, because he's going to take what the enemy meant for evil, and if you'll let him, he'll turn it around and he'll make something good happen in your life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no man can shut, and what he shuts, no man can open. Man, I love that verse. This is true about you. Chris Buzniak gave a great message on Thursday night about his journey from living a life addicted to coming to a place of freedom and living life through Christ. He talked about the labels. He had pictures of when he was incarcerated. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. He said, I'm going to throw those pictures away. I don't ever want to see them. I said, no, you keep them to help you to remember where God has brought you from. And I want to add this today. That God not only delivered him up from a place that he lived, but he's working on you and I as well to deliver us from areas that we struggle with. And I want to ask you today, what is the area that you can bring to God and leave with him today? For some, you know, it's a myriad of things. I could go on for the rest of the morning and talk about some. For some, maybe it's just you have a propensity to lie all the time. For some, it's gambling. For some, maybe you're addicted to wanting to get your own way all the time. And yes, that can be an addiction. For some of you, you yearn for people's approval all the time. You know, when I was younger, I was very self-conscious. And if I didn't have somebody's yes in my life, if I knew somebody disapproved or didn't like me, it would throw me into a tailspin, and I wouldn't know how to come out of that. Now, no. Now I just tell people, you do what you want. I'm going home with the blonde tonight. Praise the Lord. For some of you, you're addicted to television, pornography, drugs and alcohol. For some of you, it's your cell phone. You're on it right now. You're tuned me out. You're looking at your Twitter, your Facebook, your Snapchat, your Snap Chips and everything else. For some of you, it's food. This was a big thing in my life. And I thought about this as I was contemplating this. These things just don't happen overnight. See, when I was small, when I was young, we didn't have any food. My mom, she used to say, we're going to have milk toast tonight. That was dinner, where she'd take a little, maybe a pet milk. How many of you know what I'm saying when I say pet milk? And she'd pour it in a pan and add water and put some salt and pepper on it and get some bread and lay it on a plate and pour that over. That was dinner. So I struggled it from a young person. When I got a little older and I found out I could eat more, and eating became a reward to me, and I would eat and eat, and I'm telling you, there's no check valve in me. I can eat and eat and eat. There's no end to it. But I found out as I got older that that was destroying my life. That was hurting me, and I had to come to a place in my life where I needed somebody to speak into my life and tell me, you're killing yourself. You got to make a change. For some of you, you may be addicted to sports. Some of you may be addicted. You're workaholics. And I got to say, I've met some. I have some in my own family. But I've met more people that are allergic to work than those that are addicted to work. What the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, Paul says, I find this law at work in me, that when I want to do good, evil is right there. It's with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. It's waging war against the law of my mind. It's like that little cartoon where the devil is on one shoulder and an angel is on the other shoulder. One person is saying, don't do it. And the other one is saying, if it feels good, do it. And this is what Paul said. He said, I got this war that's raging in my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And he ends up this portion of scripture. He says, what a wretched man that I am. He looks at himself and he says, I'm not very happy with who I have become. I don't like this about me. But when we speak about what is right and what is true and what is good and what is not, we have to also understand that as much as there's truth, there is lies that have been released over our lives and causes us to shape the way we think about ourselves. And we must refute them. One of them is that whatever I have done has become a part of my identity. It's now who I am. And this is not true. In the sight of God, you are not what you have done. When God looks at you, he not only sees the finished work of the cross in your life, he looks to what you are going to become. God sees you in a whole different light. Not what you have done, or even for some of you, you did last night or are doing today. But he looks at you and he defines you by what you will become. I'm looking at a lot of world changers. I'm looking at a lot of champions. I'm looking at a lot of overcomers. I'm looking at a lot of people here that the half has not been told what God is going to do in and through your life. Come on, can anybody say amen to that? What you have been is not your identity. And then the enemy tries to tell you that when I try to quit what is hurting me, I fail. And so now I'm just hopeless. There's nothing else I can do. And maybe you've come here today and you're struggling in an area that maybe no one knows about except you and God. But can I tell you today that we serve a God who is spirit? The Bible says if that spirit lives in you that raised Christ from the dead, it'll also do the same work in your life. If you're here today and you believe Jesus Christ, he can raise you up out of whatever it is that is trying to hold you down today. If you've fallen, if you have failed, if you feel like you can't do it again, I want to encourage you, get up, shake yourself off today, turn around and believe that God can deliver you and make you into something that you never thought you could be. And then there's this thing that the lie is any threat to my issue becomes a threat to me. If somebody wants to challenge you on something that is hurting your life, you take that personal and say, you know, leave me alone. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know this. You know, I want to help people. Enabling people is not helping them. serving them and giving them more of what's destroying them is not helping them. But speaking into their life with love changes who they are and what they're becoming. I remember a few years ago when I started on this journey of really trying to get my life back in order of losing weight. That's 73 pounds ago now. And I remember going to dinner with my son, Ben. Amen. I remember going to dinner with my son, Ben, who really, he manipulated me. You should feel bad for me. Next time you look at Ben, give him a little skank eye a little bit, like, why'd you do that to your daddy? No, I'm just joking. I remember going to dinner with him, and I was going to do good. I was going to eat a salad with these breaded, deep-fried chicken fingers cut up on it. I'm thinking, man, I'm eating salad, chicken. He gets all up in my business. I mean, I'm telling you, he almost made me cry. I don't think I've ever confessed this before. You hurt my feelings. I can see him like it was yesterday. Dad, look at them. They're battered. They're deep fried. And I'm there. I'm just eating a salad. But instead of taking it good for me, I took it as a threat. The very thing that was really wanted to destroy who God wanted me to be. I said this Thursday night. You know, there's an appointed time for every person to die. But you and I can contribute to the time that appointment comes to pass. Did you hear what I just said? You can't eat Twinkies. You can't drink soda. You can't have hot fudges every night and think that that's going to help you to live longer. You can't use drugs. You can't bury yourself. You cannot shove a needle in your arm and then when you die, think that everybody just is going to lie. I'm talking real right now because I'm sick of what's happening in our culture. We need a revolution of life to come in to humanity to tell them you are worth more than the decisions that you're making right now. Let somebody help you with that. It's not a threat to you. It's a blessing into your life. And it's never too late. The enemy will always try to come and tell you, well, it's just too late. You've gone too far. It's irreconcilable. And that's not true. And if you're sucking air today, you still have hope in your life. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for that. And if you didn't hear the testimony on Thursday night, it's on the City Church's Facebook. The guys, they live streamed it. There's a video on there. You can look at that. You can hear that. That is not true. It's never too late. And I don't care if you're 20, if you're 50, you're 70, how old you are. Come on, get up. Believe God that he can transform you and change your life right now, right today. And then, lastly, the ease of pain. I ease the pain by just doing it again. No, you don't. You just prolong. You just prolong it. And the Lord says to you and I today, come on, let's rise higher. Paul continues on in Romans 7:24. He says, I've tried everything. And nothing helps. I'm at an end of my rope. There's no one who can do anything for me. I love how this says this in the Message translation. And the reality is, programs, I love them. I love all the 12 steps, 7 steps, 3, whatever, how many ever steps you got to take. Take them. But when it's all over with, the only one that can do something for your life is Jesus Christ. That relationship, the power of his Holy Spirit. Today is Judy Elwell's birthday. Amen. I read on her Facebook post. She said 4.5 years ago, she was celebrating her birthday at a bar, wondering who was going to buy her the next drink, struggling with that. But God changed her life. Because nothing or no one can do that like God's power. Judy, just stand up so everybody can see who you are, who I'm talking. Can you give her a big God bless you? She's clean. She's free. She's getting her bachelor's and then she's going on to get her master's degree. Only God can do that today. Come on, give the Lord one more praise in this house. He said the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. That's the truth. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and my mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And man, can I relate. But look at this next chapter. The next chapter right after he says that in Romans 8 and 1, he said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. None. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You can do this. You got this. You can manage this. God will help you with it if you entrust your life. How do I do it? First of all, you got to put God first in every area of your life. Put him first, not second, not when it's easy, not when it's convenient, not when you're all rested up, not when it's not snowing or it's sunny, not any of that. You put him first in your life. And the reality of it is that real salvation, a real experience with God, begins when we put him first in everything. Put him first in everything. Exodus 20 says, you shall have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean that you can't have any other loves, but they can't be before God. Did you hear me this morning? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Make him first. First place. How do you do that every single day of your life? Give him the first plan. Purpose in your heart to make God first. Give him the first. Give him the first of your increase, the Bible says. Give him the first moment of your day. When you wake up and your feet land on the floor, don't say, oh, Lord. Say, oh, Lord, come on, Jesus, work in me today. Have your way in my heart. I give you the next 24 hours of my day for you to lead me and guide me. Put a guard over my lips. Help me, lead me in the way that you want. Bring him first into your life. First place. And if you do, you'll feel that difference all through the day. And then learn to say no to the flesh. Because when you feed it, yeah, when you feed your flesh, it grows. It grows. And sometimes you have to say no to the things that you want, to the little things. You know, we joke about food all the time. There was a long time, I couldn't go into a Dunkin' Donuts because I couldn't go in there without getting a chocolate-covered, cream-filled donut. I mean, come on, what's a cup of coffee without sticking that donut in there? I mean, Jesus, that is heaven sent. You stick that in there, you think, my goodness, I couldn't go in there without doing that. Well, just one more time. I'll start tomorrow. But you know, the reality of it is at one point in my life, I had to say no to that. And I had to master the small things before I could ever encounter doing the bigger things. Some of you, you may think that's just funny and it's just him. But what is it in your life? What is it that you struggle with? What is the area in your life? What is the one more thing in your life that God says, no, I don't want you to do that anymore? That you're struggling with. Maybe for some of you, it is the negative speech that comes out of your mouth. Maybe for some of you, it's in your home. It's with your spouse. It's how you treat the one that you love and that loves you. And you minimize that. Maybe for some of you, it's that entryway of whatever it is. You know, some people, years ago, because I was raised in an alcoholic home, I really believed, that nobody could ever drink alcohol and not have something terrible happen to them. I don't believe that anymore. I've learned that's not right. There are some people, they can maybe drink a drink or two, and everything is okay. You know, praise the Lord, have at it. But I do know one thing. There are some people that when you drink one drink, it's like opening up a door you don't stop. And it not only it doesn't stop there, but it leads you into something more serious and more detrimental. I have had conversations with people in my life. Chris Busniak is one. I sat at the table. Say, you'll never drink alcohol again. And the people that look at me that have had this issue and say, well, you know, whatever. And they continually go round and round in the circle of things destroying their lives. And the Lord says today, you got to say no to some of those things. You can't continually feed it and think that it won't grow. And you can't enable yourself or others around you by thinking, well, I just want to make them happy. I just want to help them. Sometimes it's no. And I've found out when I've said no to the smaller things, it has become easier for me to say no to the bigger things. Romans 6:12 says, don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let it have that hold. And don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather yourselves to God. For sin shall not be your master. And God says, I've given you all the power so that you can overcome it. You just have to embrace it and say, not anymore, devil. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have any place in my life. Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. Put it to death. You got to kill it. Sometimes it's not easy to go. You got to let it go. Come on today. Lay it down, whether it's food, alcohol, social media, drugs, gossip, complaining, gambling, drugs. Ask the Lord to strengthen you in the middle of it, because what I starve will die. Did you hear me? I said, what I starve will die. And then you have to get into the habit of putting him first. Go all in with Jesus. Got to go all in. All in. And you never get the best by just doing a little when it's convenient. You will never know the potential that God has for you. And when you go all in for him, my goodness, he does things for you you never thought were possible in your life. I just had God answer this incredible dream and desire of my heart that I've had for years. Just last week. I'll tell you about it in the weeks to come. But that doesn't just happen. That happens when we begin to go all in for him. We push all the negative stuff out. And we allow him to bring all the great things that he has for our life to us. Some of you, you've never known it because all you've done is flirted a little with God. Well, try it just a little bit. You just stick your toes in the water. But today the Lord's saying, get in. Get all the way in. Know the blessing and know the fulfillment of what he wants to do in and through your life. Romans 12:2, again in the message, he says it like this. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. And here it is again. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you. And he develops well-formed maturity in you, which I want to end with this. What I feed will thrive. What are you feeding today? Are you feeding that inward man with good things? Are you filling up your heart and your life with the things that please God? Or do you continually go down that negative road that ends in pain, in trouble, in tragedy, in failure, in hurt, and hurt other people? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Today, God wants to help some of you. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe this morning some of you came in here. Last Thursday night, we had an incredible night here. But it didn't stop there. I believe there's some here today that God would want to work in, that he'd want to move in, that he'd want to transform and change your life into something beautiful. You're not living where God wants you to live. You're not doing all the things that he's called you to do. You are not experiencing the best that he has created for you to do. And when you go all in with him, oh my goodness, You know, if I died tomorrow, and I look over my life and over the where I came from, I look and I put my life against what my father and his father did. Man, if you only knew where I came from. I think of that. I think, God, you've been so great to me. You've been so good to me. I lived in this dysfunctional home and household where my dad was, he was just so abusive. And I know that he learned it from his father. And that heritage that came through my DNA and my bloodline. In that one day that I gave my heart to Jesus, and I had no idea where that would lead me. Afraid, broken. I'll never forget that day. And God didn't look at me for who I was then. Like, he's not looking at some of you today, where you are or what you've come from. He's not concerned with that. He has power to transform your life and lead you into a life that you can't even imagine right now. You may be sitting here thinking, well, you know, I'm too old for that. No, you're not. Quit saying that. You came in here today, you're not too old. Yeah, but I've done this and I've done that. And Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know the family. You don't know my situation. You're right, I don't, but he does. He's got enough power to help you, just like he helped me. I think about my poor father coming home night after night, falling over, smashing things up in the house, hurting my mother. Yeah, I see him empty the cupboard out of every dish, smash all the dishes on the floor. My mom huddled in a corner crying, begging him not to, and him calling her name after name and just belittling her. I think of that now. My little granddaughters came in today. They come up to me. They hug me. Big smiles on their face. That just didn't happen. That's because I decided, Jesus, come and take my life because I'm a wretched man. My past is where I came from. I can't do this without your help. My goodness, I feel his power in here right now. Some of you are here. You're broken. You've come from bad backgrounds. Your DNA is jacked up. Can I tell you, he's got a new life for you today. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. I want those that are going to help me pray, come on down, because there's going to be people that come today. All kinds of people that need help from heaven above. Can't do it on their own. Nobody expected you to. Nobody planned that is going to happen. God, he's got this all worked out. He's got a perfect place. It's not too late. You haven't gone too far. Spirit of the living God. Nothing that a man could do or say can ever convince a human being to trust you in a way that they've never done. But I believe this morning, by your Holy Spirit, you will draw all men unto yourself. I pray for that reality. Your eyes closed. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, none. You don't have anywhere to go right now. Just give me 2 minutes. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that before you leave today. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Marty, will you pray for me right where I am this morning? I need Jesus. Just put your hand up right now. I'm going to pray for you. I don't want nothing from you. God bless you. For some of you, you're just in a place that's pulling you backwards, and God wants to help you. And when I was talking about this, something grabbed your heart. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me today. Come on, there's hands up. There's all over. Pray this with me, everyone, with your eyes closed. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, everyone, pray this out loud. Say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I need you as my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my past and give me a new future. Be the Lord and the Master of my life. Lead me and guide me into ways that I never thought possible. I thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Now, God, I pray for everyone that is here, everyone that raised their hand today, that you're moving, you're dealing in their hearts and their lives. God, I pray that you'll manifest your power in their lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, did you receive something from the Lord today? Before you leave, if you raised your hand, even if you didn't and you want prayer, I want you to come down. Let these folks pray over you today. God's got something great for you. I love you. Go in His grace today. Make sure you tell somebody how important they are to you before you leave today. And if you need prayer, you come on down, okay? I love you. Go in His grace today.